My brothers, in the everyday life in the dunya, we see one thing, we see one clear fact, that every man is busy in preparing for something or other. Somebody is preparing for an examination, somebody is preparing for a wedding or to get married, somebody is preparing for work the next morning, somebody is preparing and cooking the food to eat, somebody is preparing to go and visit somebody, to meet somebody, somebody is preparing to go on a journey. Every human being, with speed and clarity, is busy in some sort of preparation or other. And with seriousness and conviction focus, we are doing that preparation. But it's surprising, the most important factor of life, which is preparation for death, we can't do that. Imagine, we can't do it. So how much we prepare for in the world from morning to evening, we prepare for our daily lives and requirements. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that death and preparation for maut, and maut we say, death, preparation for death, that how essential it is for a human being. If we see that all of the different preparation forms, the most important thing is preparation for death. And the whole of success will hinge on this. That after death, all of the success will come after death. So we need to think that how much have I prepared for death? So don't think, if this is not deception, then what else can I say? That we see clearly that this is a big deception of the world, about which the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that the world is a deception. That is not even valuable, comparable to the value of the wing of a mosquito. We run up morning and evening after the... My brothers, what I'm trying to say is that we shouldn't be negligent and lazy in our lives. The time that's passed, but we need to be aware of what we're doing. Because it is stated that the person who prepares for death, then the rest of his life falls in order and is correct and in line. So the real preparation we have forgotten, then the rest of our life and our day and our preparation and plans, they're not good, because we're not doing the right thing. Okay, let's accept that we've come to pray Salah and this is preparation for death. We've recited the Quran, this is preparation for death. We are doing good deeds, Ramadan has come, we are keeping the fast, we are preparing for death. But in reality, behind this, we don't have the niyyah, the intention for preparing for death. Otherwise, our preparation would be different. The preparation for death and the Salah for preparation for death is in line with the guidance of Rasulullah ﷺ, that a person when he prays, he has yaqeen that maybe I won't pray again. Have we prayed a Salah like this? My friends, let's think for a while. We're just talking, this is not a speech or a lecture, we're just discussing with each other. So insan, the human beings here, animal, we are mad. We're crazy. We're afraid of illness and death might come, death might come, I may die, but death is going to come. It is going to come. And can we stop death? Has anybody until today prevented death from occurring? So let's prepare properly. Subhanallah, what a beautiful point. Why are we afraid of death? Why? Is death something to be afraid of? To be worried about? Maut is a bridge that we have to cross, and we cross that bridge to meet our friend. For example, if you tell me, when we sit on a plane and you have to land in India, and in India your parents are waiting for you and your relatives are waiting for you, so that long journey after that, there'll be a happiness that when I get off at the airport, my father will be there waiting for me, isn't it? So the people who are the genuine people, they know that maut is nothing, it's not hard, it's a bridge, I have to cross this bridge, and when I get there to the other side, then subhanAllah, who will be waiting for me? Who will I meet? Subhanallah. So these are those people who understand that we should prepare for maut and for after that. But people like us who are drama acts, we are all masters of drama. If I say, oh, there's a dawah now invitation, oh, we will get ready. Why? Because we are prepared for the wedding, for the function, for the get together, for the invitation to the feast. But nobody knows that how quickly is death going to come. I have to cross the bridge of death. And if I prepare in a wrong way, then who will ask me? Who will give me success? Who will assist me? And I will have wasted this life of 70 or 80 years, my friends, due to running after this dunya. I swear, by Allah, we need to think. We have wasted this life. counting the notes and money and mal and currency and thinking about wasteful activities. This is not happening, that's not happening, what should I do now? Preparation for this, preparation for that. What a waste. Then all of these things will be left here and the real preparation will be wasted. Okay, fine, let's accept. So as I said, that the people who pray salah, if they're saying that they're preparing for death, then the salah for the preparation of death is different. It's unique. Even the fast are different. Okay, let's accept we do it in the right way. But remember one point, that when you prepare in the right way, then the result is correct as well, isn't it? If you prepare wrong, then the result will be negative. And if I have an examination, for example, I'm studying and I have an examination at the end of it, and let's say I'm given the MA Master of Arts exam and I'm preparing for something else and I'm studying this. Oh, he's studying, he tried hard, he's worked hard. Okay, give this answer. We think our child is studying and his light's on all the time, his lamp is on and he's studying and revising, but he's reading other books, a novel or a magazine. Oh, he's studying, he works hard, our child, and result comes and he's failed. But he was studying, what happened? Wasn't he revising? What was the reason? So never will a person fail who has prepared correctly, revised correctly. Never will he fail. Never. The driving test, the person who fails is the one who didn't do thorough, full preparation. Why? Because if your preparation is thorough, to the point, everything, to the T, and you do proper effort, then you will never fail. You will pass. You will pass. So in the same way, we realize now that if we prepare in the wrong way and we think that we're preparing for maut, then when will the result come out? Remember, then the deception will go far. We don't know if we're going to wake up as a munafiq or somebody without iman. I'm telling you this. Today we say that, oh, I've got a connection with this sheikh and this Islam Amrid. No. We'll realize at that time, were we with anybody or not? Did we have connection? Did we have amal? Did we have salah? No, because I prepared in the wrong way. So what we considered was correct, I've got the proper preparation, then we need to understand that if I prepared away from that and I consider this was preparation, just like that child who's awake all night long and the light is on, he sat down. But instead of studying chemistry, he's reading a novel. He says he's studying, he's reading a book, but reading the wrong book, the incorrect book, the wrong preparation. So we are preparing for maut, but is that the correct preparation that we should do? Let's speak about that today. Shall I tell you today what is the right preparation? Shall I tell you? Should I tell you or should the Qur'an tell us? The Qur'an will tell us. Listen to this carefully. And then the deception will go far. So Allah Ta'ala hasn't said it just like this. This is a very important point, the preparation for death. Allah Ta'ala has not mentioned about maut anywhere else like this. Allah Ta'ala hasn't mentioned in this way, about the preparation for death. Why has Allah Ta'ala said it with such emphasis? Because Allah Ta'ala knew there's such people, like animals there will be, who won't understand what I'm saying. So that's why Allah Ta'ala mentioned this. They still won't listen to things I have to say. And they, for example, a person so stubborn, and you tell him so many times repeatedly, but he doesn't understand. If the penny doesn't drop, the person still wants to do wrong, still do the wrong action, still go towards sin, and eventually Jahannam will come. So Allah Ta'ala has mentioned about the preparation for maut. How to revise. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. Allah Ta'ala has, with Jalal, explained. Allah says that I swear. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. Allah swears by the sun, by the moon, by the day, by the night. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala is explaining clearly by the sun and his brightness, and the moon when she follows the sun, and the day when it reveals him, and the night when it enshrouds him. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. And Allah Ta'ala says, Allah swearing by these things. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. And the earth and him who spread it. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا. And the soul and him who perfected it and inspired it with conscience of what is wrong for it and what's right for it. Allah says, I'm explaining to you after that, this, all these verses, Allah says that قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَن زَكَّاهَا. So first Allah Ta'ala mentions in the seven verses, Allah swears by the different things. Then Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَن زَكَّاهَا. Allah says, if you have prepared the way I tell you, he is indeed successful who causes it to grow. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَن دَسَاهَا. And he is indeed a failure who stops it, who doesn't practice it. Tell me in the Quran, has Allah Ta'ala given a message as clear as this? Many messages Allah Ta'ala has given in the Quran with regards to our lives. But such an important thing here, that Allah Ta'ala says that the akhir time for the mu'min, when we realize, is he going successfully or not? We don't know. that thousands of medicines I'll take. I've got a heart condition, a pacemaker, tablets, and I've got a bag in my hand with all of the drugs. But eventually, Maut will come. Maut will take us over. And we'll all be put into those boxes. Doesn't matter how many tablets I put in my pocket. If I take this tablet, I'll be fine. If I take this tablet, no. This is not preparation for death. Allah Ta'ala says, this is not preparation. Your salah is not your preparation. Hajj is not your preparation. Yes, all of this is not preparation. Allah says, preparation is that what I'm telling you. If you do this preparation, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا, then Allah says, you will pass. Successful is he. If he prepares the way I tell him, Allah says, I tell you today that you've passed the test. And despite this, if you prepare, then you will never have prepared. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. So what's the preparation that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned? What is the preparation? What's the revision for the hereafter? Allah says, purify yourself inside. Purify yourself inside. Subhanallah. Allow yourself to grow spiritually. Save yourself from lying, backbiting, fraud, deceiving, and consuming haram, earning haram, and from envy, and from gossip mongering. And from love of the dunya, and love of wealth, and love of lust and passion, and the love of the world. And save yourself from enmity with people, from anger, Allahu Akbar, from the evil look, the evil stare, from haram actions. All of these are actions. If you eliminate them, you're purifying yourself within. But if you have all of this within, Allah says, bring 100,000 salah. Allah says, who will ask you about your salah when inside you have the biggest defects? Allah says, if you want success with me, and this is the genuine preparation for death, what is that preparation? Tazkiyah, which is purification within you. The Quran is telling us this, my friends, or not? Now you tell me, how much do we prepare? We run away from salah. We are running left and right in other places. Allah says, this is riba, this is a sin, an ibadat we do. We do high level ibadah. We do. For example, a month I haven't had a bath. And I put a new set of clothes on and go outside. There'll come smell, especially in a hot climate. There'll be smell from my body. There's a lot of dirt and sweat within me, on my body. And I put a very expensive new garment on. And if I go and sit down next to somebody, will my odor and stench of my sweat not come out? In the same way, we have worship upon worship, layers of relation. Obviously, salah is a great action. But if within me, despite, if I purify myself within and pray salah, then Allah says that on your one sajda, I meet you. On your one prostration, I meet you. Allah says, not in your salah, not in hordes and hordes of salah. Allah says, you cannot understand. One salah, if I accept it, which is sincere and humble, Allah says, do sajda. Do prostration and see how you get close to my qurb. And if you don't observe and experience mi'raj, then complain to me. Allah says, it's not about from on top, the external appearance. You decorate yourself externally, make yourself look nice. These dhahiri appearance we have with the libas and the external experience. Allah says, this will not give you success. This drama will not work. And your appearance external will assist you if internally you are pure. Otherwise, you will be deceived. You're deceiving people. You are showing off to people that you wanted the awareness and the recognition in dunya. You wanted to tell people in the dunya. But in reality, Allah says that you did not have love with my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you did, then you would have akhlaq within you. You would never lie at any instance. You would not be angry. You would not consume haram. All of the things are within you, the defects and the spiritual maladies. And you say that you are a regular prayer, a person who prays, a regular musalli, and you read a lot of Quran, and you do a lot of dhikr. Allah says, no. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful for me is that person who within, internally is pure, clean, and bathe himself and comes to me, Allah Ta'ala says. Then see, Allah says, what maqams and levels in paradise I give to you. Then bring your salah, Allah says, subhanallah. Then bring your sujood and see what maqams, Allah says, I will give to you. Status. Now tell me, my brothers, are we on the right path or the wrong path? Let's look around, scan the world. Scan the dunya. No one's worried that I may pass away anytime soon. Have I prepared? Nobody thinks that I need to stop looking, using my eyes in the wrong way, or gossip mongering, or backbiting. We lie, we backbite, we slander, we commit fraud. That we cannot imagine. There are examples of these sins in ahadith. There are such events that define the wretchedness of these sins. Allah says, I destroyed whole nations and tribes due to lying. Allah Ta'ala said, I destroyed whole tribes and societies due to specific sins. Allah says there was a defect in this society. They used to weigh less, or they used to disobey Allah more. And everyone committed internal sins. That nifaq, hypocrisy. What is nifaq? Nifaq, hypocrisy, is a very bad sin, and it comes from within. It's a reflection of the negative and polluted and contaminated state of a person within. That we take the sin from the tongue to the eyesight. There's total stench and dirt, contamination within a person. And the stench comes from his body when he's passing away. We think he's a mu'min who's passing away. Allah says that all will be revealed in the grave, because this person, he did not follow my advice. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Allah says, if you are pure, if you are clean, you wash yourself within, in your batin and your soul, you clean it. Allah Ta'ala says that you are not favoring me. All of this you are doing for your own benefit, for yourself. وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرُ. Why? Because Allah says, you have to come to me. You will be coming to me. And if you purify yourself in the way I've told you, after swearing 8 times, Allah says, you're not favoring me. Allah says, Allah promise, I testify for yourself you're doing this. Why? Why? What a beautiful point Allah Ta'ala has mentioned here. Subhanallah. That Allah Ta'ala says, that in the dunya you're living in the world, think yourself, Allah Ta'ala says, think yourself, you're living in the dunya. Can the person who sees and the person who can't see, are they equal? Is light and dark the same? Is the sun beaming down and the shade the same thing? No. So Allah Ta'ala says that if these things are not equivalent in the world, like there's daylight and there's darkness, or you see light and dark, and you know that these two things are not the same. So when you come to me, Allah Ta'ala says, then if you are in the form of a person who is not clean and pure, and there's another person who's pure, can they be the same? In which hal can you ask for Jannah, paradise? Allah says, I've told you the reality, even then you don't understand. So what I'm trying to say, that the life of the mu'min, his preparation for death. And how do we prepare for death? To purify ourselves within, in our hearts and our souls. And there's a method, we have to learn the method. Introduce yourself to a wali of Allah, explain your sins. And when you go to the wali of Allah, we go for this reason. Because the Quran has told us the path. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us the path. That I remember an event, and this event is a great event from a great personality. We mentioned this, a great darvish and alim, and a friend of Allah, wali Allah, his name was the Shaykh Ahmad Ali Lahori, Rahmatullah Ali, great Shaykh, great personality, great elder, Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad Ali Lahori, Rahmatullah Ali. I remember his words that my Ustad, my teacher, my geography professor when I was in university, he was young and I used to look at him. I said, what is this man? That there's the world around him and he's a young man. And I was a student, he used to teach me. And his discussion, his speaking, his gentleness and love and care for others and affection for others and following Sharia. I said, he's a young man. He's just come. You know what is the mahal, the environment in university? But I don't know, my heart was attracted. And I was attracted to his style and his words and his discussion. And his whole style was unique in university. Where do you find people like this? Tell me. So one day, because I was a student, there was a discussion. And I had, alhamdulillah, muhabbat and love, but I used to think that he's a unique, different person. How comes he's like this now, in this day and age, in this generation? So what I realized, that he was connected. His hand had gone into the hand of Hazrat Ahmad Ali Lahori. There he was passing by, the majlis are taking place, and there was tafsir. You had to hear the tafsir. Half of Lahore would go and sit down in front of Hazrat Sheikh when he would give tafsir. And his dhikr, his majlis would be great, brilliant gathering and majlis. So he passed by, my teacher, after he was free from university. And he sat down in the majlis, alhamdulillah, he went forward. And he saw his sheikh once, Hazrat Ahmad Ali Lahori. And that was it, end of story, because he was sincere. So who taught us this tariqah? Let me give you an example, another example. And this is the example he gave him. That mufti, the mufti of the Yehud, their biggest mufti azam, their great scholar at the time of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Rasulullah came to Medina. And his name was Abdullah bin Salam. He was a mufakkar, commentator, an alim, the scholar of the Jews. And they used to be proud, all the Jews, of their great scholar. Just like people do today. So when the Prophet ﷺ came to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, then everyone thought that he will go and debate, and then within a minute, the situation will finish and everybody will accept that we are right, and that'll be the end of the story. That was what everybody thought. So he always was proud that, yes, definitely, let's see what madhab is this, what deen is this, what religion, what's he talking about. So in this way, he was preparing, and then one day he thought that he was honest, he was an alim, scholar of the Jews, and he knew all the facts. He said, okay, what I need to do is let me go and see that person who says he's the Prophet, and if I'm happy, then I'll accept him. Otherwise, I will make him believe in me and accept in me. So he had a niyyah, and this is the niyyah of those who want to accept. Because he said, if I am happy with the individual causes of Prophet, then I'll be happy with him. We'll see how he goes after that. But in reality, I'm a great scholar, I'm a mufti, I know everything, the Torah, the Injil. So how can he win over me? So when he reached to the majlis of Hazrat, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw the blessed face of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu." Subhanallah. In a second before he was something else, and in the second, the next second after seeing the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became radiyallahu anhu. Allah was pleased with him and his life changed. So here he has written this point that if a person with a sincere heart, genuine heart, for saving, I want to save my deen, I want to prepare for death. Even today, if you arrive to the gathering of the Wali of Allah and you have the sincere niyyah, then it's stated that that person will not leave that gathering without having all the sins atoned for. That to the hereafter, this path is open, but we have to have niyyah, that he made niyyah, that either I will change or he will change today. So if we attend a majlis of a wali of Allah with this intention that I need to eliminate my sins in every way or form, and I want to be corrected and a good person, I have no other maqsad, whatever my teacher say, whatever he does, my salah, I have to accept. Then he stated, the question doesn't arise, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَى وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَى. He will attain what he desires in this world also, and he will reach to his station. So we don't see people like this today. He doesn't know that this is preparation for death. So my brothers, short summary of what I'm trying to say is, if we prepare in the wrong way, then the wrong result will come out. I tell you this clearly, don't live in deception. The Quran has come to take away all the dramas, deceptions, and false understandings. Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you the Quran for you to prepare for death. Why? Because it's the biggest deception when Shaitan comes into our matters and he puts wasawis whispering into our ears and our minds, and answer that even if in front of us we see our death, we won't have yaqeen unless we taste it and experience it. This is how Shaitan has forcefully thrown his whispers into the ummah today. If you don't believe what I'm saying, go to the hospitals and see the percentage of patients, and they're told that you will pass away soon. For example, doctors say this, don't they? But even then, if we don't have yaqeen at that time that maut is going to come, then we will never understand. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has sworn here 8 times, don't you worry about these other things. Allah Ta'ala says, you just keep revising and preparing for death. Subhanallah. Your job is preparation. What is the preparation? That inside yourself, in your heart and soul, keep on concentrating your nafs, on your different levels of the nafs. Am I lying? Am I cheating? Then make a list of the internal maladies. 27 taqriban, approximately 27 sins will come out. I'm telling you, these are there. That's why I tell you. And every sin will be eliminated one by one by one. So for that person who has the knee, and I tell you this for sure, otherwise all your life, 40 years, 50 years, we see people, they stop. 50 years, they're old. They become imams, etc. They're leaders. There's a lot of noise and clamor, but the sins are still the same and they're stuck to their body. So for us to do dhikr, the objective is not that we'll do dhikr, we'll become walis of Allah and pious servants and etc. No, after we do dhikr, we should analyze ourselves internally that I've just remembered Allah. This is the means, whether it's the gathering of the wali of Allah or dhikr Allah. Allah Ta'ala says that these are the means, through these means you will attain the true essence of ibadah. Just like we look for masjids, etc., don't we? That after one salah, we go to one prayer, and then we say to the brothers, is there masjid nearby? Is there mosque nearby? This is rahmah, mercy. Subhanallah. That we have the masjid, this masjid where we should all come for salah. We should look for it. But Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that for this ibadah, I tell you 2 places. Rather not, I'll tell you 1 place. Allah Ta'ala says, كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. The Quran tells us this. The Quran tells us this. That if you want to attain taqwa, then only 1 place, 1 path, 1 way. Just like the masjid is the path for salah, then same way for tazkiyah, for purification of the soul, then qunu ma sadiqeen, then you must adhere to the gatherings of the Ahlullah, the people of Allah. Allah says, if you don't change, then come and tell me. So make a solid niyyah, solid intention, that just like 5 times salah you pray in your local masjid, then keep 10 rakats or double, because this is a great ibadah. And if you get sohbat, connection with your shaykh regularly, consistently, not this, that after 1 week you're meeting him, or after 2 weeks, no. And this is the karam, the mercy of Allah, that if you're getting the majalis of the shaykh, and you have a sheikh close to you, the friend of Allah, and your heart testifies that this person, he is to be my sheikh, or he'll improve me, etc. So the person, if your heart itself is testifying to something right or wrong, if your heart never testifies, then don't go to that person. Doesn't matter if the whole dunya says he's high rank level, he's got this and that, and etc. Thousands of words are exchanged, but your heart doesn't accept that that person is genuine. Allah says, don't go there. Why? Allah says, I know that where will your heart go and be content. And such by Allah says, I know that who has the love with who, because this path is traveled along with love. Love is the fuel. So when you're going somewhere, you realize that there's no pride or passion, etc. But you suddenly look at somebody and your heart is there, set on that place. They will say, don't leave from there. Today your Islam will be done as well. Subhanallah. So the tariqas, the methods Allah Ta'ala has given. Qunu ma'a sadiqeen. Allah says, adhere to the company of the sadiqeen, of the honest people. Allah says, and with firmness grab all of his connection, even if he hits you, even if he with the slippers, or even he scolds you, tells you off. Not that 10 years you go and 20 years you go somewhere else. No, not a second will pass and your sins will start to be removed. And this is the help of the friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, for example, Hazrat, my Shaykh, I'm putting my hand into your hand so that it will be your focus and attention and your tawajjuh, and all my sins from within should start to be removed. And this is the enjoyment, isn't it? So we should have friendship like this. Allah Ta'ala is promising, قُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, that I will take away the sins from your account. So my brothers, today we've understood that what is the preparation for death? To purify ourselves from within, inside us. So now, ill ganga's coming, or the wife's done something maybe not in line with our what we felt. So stop. Why am I angry? Is this something to be angry about, you foolish person? Is this anger? I remember an event, and after that I will summarize. That there was a great wali of Allah, Hazrat Baqi, Hazrat Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullah alayhi, and he is from the family of Chishtiya, and a famous sheikh he was. And then there was the Khalifa Ajal, Hazrat Khwaja Mohinuddin Chishti rahmatullah. This is a tazkiyah gathering, so I speak about the walis of Allah. And according to the gathering we're in, that's why I speak. So you've come here to learn this. So he was the prime Khalifa at that time, and a great sheikh, Hazrat Baqi, Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullah alayhi. Everyone in the world knows him. And somebody asked him, the Hazrat, please tell us one thing. That you have sat in such a great wali of Allah's connection in his company. And subhanallah, all your life long, tell us in the summary, what have you taken from subhanallah? Subhanallah. He said, four things I have taken from the company. Four things I've taken from the company of my teacher. And after those four things, he attained this high rank. Such a high rank that his blessed habit would be that he would sit down in the night and he would send a durood on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a certain number of ways, 3,000. So for some reason, one day he missed this action. Look at the connection. Look at the connection. Imagine the maqam, his status. As soon as he came to the night, he missed that durood that night. Then straight away from his relatives, there was a pious elder, and the Prophet ﷺ went into that dream of the relative, and Rasulullah ﷺ said, go and ask Bakhtiyar Kaki, why has he not sent my daily gift to me? Subhanallah. So such a great maqam. How did he attain this? Obviously from the company of the Shaykh. But please tell us the summary of this. قَدَ فْلَحَ مَا زَكَى. He said that my Shaykh, he gave my nafs four gifts. Subhanallah. What was the fourth gift? Four gifts he gave you? He said the first gift was such that inshallah my nafs accepted that gift. And what was that? That within the hunger of poverty, you can start to enjoy being the king. That within days and weeks I would be in poverty and hungry, but alhamdulillah I used to like walking and traveling. That, and I also used to then eat to my fill so that I could digest everything. I never felt that I was that hungry. That even if the mountain of loss was to fall on my head, then I would have still happiness. How the nafs improves. No doubting, sir, I've got a headache, I've got a back pain. Thousands of excuses with Arab. We say, subhanAllah, he said, this fakir said that the issues used to fall on my head so regularly. But Allah Ta'ala is the one who assists. He said that with the people who are against me, my situation was even better than what I was with my friends, because the enemy hadn't come with me to eat. I wouldn't be as good to my friends, etc., as much as I would to this are the examples. So when he had these four qualities, he became Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullahi Qadaf Lahama Zakah. My friends, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that these points are very valuable, precious. We should prepare for death. May not be that we regret tomorrow. From today, we should try, select one sin and say that from tomorrow I'm not going to backbite. That's it. And then declare it and implement it. I've told you the tariqah, the method. Many people, they do complete the sheets, but others don't complete. They say, oh, he's just wasting our time and speaking. Just go and sit down and think and everything will happen. No, nothing will be useful. I tell you this today, that we are living a life of deception, fraud, and you've got imamas on your heads, but you're getting nothing. I tell you the truth. I speak direct. Dunya thinks the Hazrat has great murids. I say that I don't have one murid, one student. No, because murids aren't like this. If you want to be a murid, then like me. Once I went to my sheikh, say subhanallah. Once I went to my sheikh. On one occasion, it was thousands of miles. I went via Medina, and there I asked for this as well. What? That I want to change myself. Allah, I don't know. I'm not an alim. I don't know anything. That I want to come out of the khilafat of the dunya, of the association with the world. I was finding. After thousands of miles, I reached to a village, to a locality. I saw a fakir, the wali. He asked me, why are you coming? I said, Hazrat, I've come because I want to leave the dunya. He said, today you will leave the dunya today. And that was it. Enough, finished. Annihilated at that moment in time. Straight away in the evening, gave me khilafah, all of the levels and the stages. And he announced, he put his hand up and announced to those people that he's Darvesh's students from such a long time, 80 years old, so many decades in his company, subhanAllah. And they were all unconscious that what's happening here? He hasn't got the beard, he doesn't have the parents. What's going on here? So the same point, Abdullah bin Salam, that his niyyah was clean and pure. And Allah Ta'ala says, that insan doesn't give, the sheikh doesn't give, the wali wala doesn't give. Who gives? Allah Ta'ala says, me, I give. Subhanallah. So this is all a means. We're living in the world. This is Allah, that He shakes everyone, makes everybody aware, and reminds all of us. Allah says, I can do everything. Who is there out there who asks for me and I don't give? Allah says, can this ever be? That Allah says, open your heart. What is wilaya? What is mine and yours? Friendship, Allah says, ask me at least. You are a great, great personality or human being. And you accept that they ask me for those things. Allah says that you are asking me for the same things. The day and the night they ask for. They ask for normal cycle. And you're standing there. Allah Ta'ala says that, subhanAllah, I left the line of dunya, broke the connection with the dunya, and took my attire and libas. I said, Allah, I am fed up with this dunya. Please, Allah, I want to attain your nearness. That's the tariqah that the Quran said that I could have met just like this. Wherever you asked, you would have attained. But I utilize the resources. Allah says, I am a Rabb. When my principle is made, then the sunnah ilahi is the thing that goes first, and you cannot break that. So go to my darvesh. Doesn't matter how many thousands of miles you have to travel. Sit, have the right niyyah, and show that person. He'll say one thing, and it's your job to understand. Allah says, to ask, and I will give to you. Allah says that wait, have patience, and I will make you what you had as a target, as a design ambition. Apart from this, everything is a drama. Subhanallah. So, I will explain to you, people break Sharia. I say this is haram, they will do that action again. Openly, they will do that action again. These imamas and beards, this is something that, for example, we're forced to, if I take imam off today, what will people say? If I trim or cut the beard, what will people say? Aye, aye. Subhanallah. Show one amal. If I don't do this amal today, then what will my Rabb say? What will my Lord say? And this call should come out from within. That if I lie, what will my Rabb say? My Lord, my Creator, Allah. That if I backbite to this person, what will my Rabb say? My Lord. Doesn't what happens? The question doesn't arise. I will not lie. Doesn't matter if the dunya goes left or right, but I don't want my Rabb to be unhappy with me. That for example, who trims the beard, shaves the beard. Oh, if I do this, what will the dunya say? People used to say, I'm pious and good. One person came to me and he had done something wrong and he knew who his sheikh was. I said, that take the imam off you had from today. I said, please, for the sake of Allah, don't tell me to take imam off. Why? I knew that he didn't have the love for the Prophet. He thought, oh, what will the dunya say? My imam has come off my head. So I speak straightforward, honestly. If you want to be, then become a true ashik and lover of Allah. And the tariqah is what? Then whatever Allah says, do that action. Whatever Allah's Quran says, do that. Preparation for death, don't do according to your own desires and opinions. If you want to prepare, then prepare in the right way. If you want to go to your sheikh, then crush your desires. Whatever the sheikh says, do that. Even if you get millions of loss, even if you get hundreds of thousands of loss, but you'll have to do the action that what your sheikh has told you. That is when you'll get the right status. Is Jannah easy? Is Allah Ta'ala's pleasure easy? What will we get after this? Subhanallah, then the nafs will give the due to the nafs control, you'll get the rewards. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.